Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Victory Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Your Green Bay Packers are 2-0. Your Green Bay Packers have the best record in all of football. Are you not entertained? What more could you possibly want to start this season? What a run of trading for Mike Parsons to winning against the Detroit Lions at home and really not being close at any point in that game, and then winning pretty much going away against the Washington Commanders, also at home, Thursday Night Football. We are just a handful of days into the season, basically, and the Green Bay Packers are 2-0 against two of the teams that were expected to be two of the best teams in the NFL this year. You couldn't have scripted it much better outside of maybe, I guess, a Jaden Reed injury today, which we'll go over. Outside of that, you could not have asked for anything more than what's happened over these past couple weeks. Hope you guys are enjoying the heck out of it so far. It has been an unbelievable start to the season and hopefully just the beginning of something special that's really brewing for this Green Bay Packers team in 2025, and more specifically as we get into those cold weather months in 2026. I just cannot wait for what the rest of this season brings. It's already reaching peak levels of excitement and expectations. You guys, for the most part, some of you may be new here. If so, welcome. I appreciate you checking this out. The majority of you will know I'm pretty measured when it comes to anything really, right? Like, I'm not one that's going to be full of hyperbole, loud noises, extreme takes. It's not my style. I like to live in a world of reality. The reality is that there's a lot of season left and nobody knows what this is going to bring. The truth is, how I'm feeling right now is that there is something legitimately very special about this team. And I think the craziest part is that we are two games in where Green Bay won relatively easily against two really good teams in Detroit and Washington. And I feel like they didn't even play that well on offense yet. There was still some stuff they could have done on special teams better. And it feels like there's still a ways to go for this team to even be hitting on all cylinders. Both of these games could have been even further blowouts than what they were. And that, I mean, just think about that for a moment. They took these two teams to task over the last couple games, and it should have been worse for those teams. Like, usually when you see a game like this, especially when you're going in these kind of heavyweight fights between teams, when you look back at it, you're like, you know what? Detroit was just a couple plays here, or the Commanders were just a couple plays here. No, the team that left the most meat on the bone was the team that dominated both performances. Your Green Bay Packers were the team that still had so much more out there that they could have achieved in this one. The Commanders and Lions couldn't, frankly, do anything against Green Bay's defense. And had it been just for a little bit more efficiency on offense and special teams, who knows what these box scores and final outcomes would have looked like. That is not me complaining. That is not me nitpicking. That is me actually extremely excited about the fact that there is still so much more out there for this team, and they already look this good. It is hard not to be excited as a Green Bay Packer fan right now. We are celebrating a Victory Friday. I want to give a shout out to Christopher Ruse, Ricardo G, Patrick Weiss, Air387, Kaleo, Terry Mitchell, BR in Milwaukee for becoming brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. What a better time than right now to become a Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. For example, yesterday, bonus videos from both Aaron Nagler and Ross Uglum previewing the game. We've got more bonus content coming out every single week. Aaron and I will be there breaking down the upcoming game. So for that, that is, again, for members. And of course, for non-members, you guys have seen all of the content that has been out here every single day. It has been a joy to bring all of that to you. A shout out to the entire podcast team, but we're going to be here for you guys. You know that pretty much multiple episodes a day, live episodes. The live with Mike Wall was awesome the other day. So if you haven't just subscribed yet, make sure to do that. Also, make sure to get those notifications. There's so much stuff coming out that if you don't have those notifications turned on, your app to miss it. So make sure to do that as well. If you're listening on the audio podcast, like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Those things help the channel a ton. Spread the joy right now with everything that's going on in Packers land. Green Bay is off to a 2-0 start. How many of you really, you know, in reality, right? And I'll be the first to raise my hand. When you looked at the schedule initially, just said, just go 1-1 in those first two games. You see Detroit, you see Washington, they're both at home. Just start 1-1. 0-2 would have felt like you're really behind the eight ball. You had two home games against two good teams. The whole narrative last year was that you couldn't beat good teams in big moments. You start the season, you go 0-2, and it would have felt like, what are we doing? You just traded for Micah Parsons. All the vibes were going well, and you went 0-2 at home. Like, where is this headed? And if you go 1-1, you feel pretty good. You get Cleveland, you get Dallas, you can probably get to 3-1. But the ideal, of course, would be to start 2-0. You knew it was going to be a very tall task. Turns out, not for this team, not for this defense. They defeat the Commanders 27-18. And I'm not bitter at all about predicting it as a 27-17 game. And they went for a meaningless 2-point conversion to make it 27-18. I'm not bitter about that whatsoever. What a unbelievable, for the second consecutive week, defensive performance from Jeff Hafley. He is on a completely nuclear level right now of where he's operating at. It is really remarkable where everything you see defensively, it feels like such a grind for both of these opposing offenses. And we are not talking about two slouches on offense in Washington and Detroit. We are talking about last year, two teams that were extremely talented on offense, extremely good on offense, and just Jaden Daniels in and of himself. It is so hard to stop him in the passing game and in the running game. Usually it's a pick your poison. It felt like there were 14 defenders on the field for Green Bay at all times. Everything is covered deep. Everything is covered intermediate. Everything is covered short. Everything is stopped with the running game. I do not know legitimately how he's doing it. I have a couple things that I'm going to go over today to give you a little bit of an idea, but this is not normal. Guys, I've covered this team watching, you know, every single snap of every single team for the last, this is my 9th year doing it. I've never seen a defense covering this team that has come close to what Green Bay has done in these first two games. The pressure, the intensity, the run defense, the rallying to the football, the speed, the tenacity, just all of it. I've not seen anything close to it. It is a special defense through two games, and it is very difficult not to see what is out there for this team. This defense playing the way that it is, and the offense, they could have put up 40-some in this game if they just are a little bit better. A couple deep shots get completed, maybe don't shoot themselves in the foot a couple times. It's right there for them. It's right there for them. And if this offense does, in fact, start clicking even a little bit better, and by the way, for your first 2 weeks to have 27 points in both games, let's be crystal clear here. We are not talking about a poor performing offense through 2 weeks. Some lulls in the game, some disappointing drives, some missed opportunities to kind of, you know, stick your foot on the neck and just end it, right? Like you wish that there would have been a couple more of those moments that could have just got it where it's like, oh, this is really fun. It's just completely getting blown out of proportion for where the score is at, right? You would have loved that. But two back-to-back 27-point performances against Detroit and Washington is nothing to be disappointed by. Those are two winning performances by the offense. You're hoping, even going into the year, before we knew what this defense would look like in totality, you know, you felt like 27 points would win you any game more often than not, maybe one or two here or there where you have just a bad game defensively. Now it feels like 27 is like you're playing with just house money at that point. Like no team is going to get to 27 on Green Bay the way that this defense is playing. And at the end of the day, you heard, thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Jerry. Just unbelievable. Thank you, Jerry Jones. I tweeted out, the Packers just announced that at the halftime of the Cincinnati Bengals game, their next home game, that they will be, making their Jerry Jones statue or presenting their Jerry Jones statue at halftime. I think it was Robert Mays tweeted something to the effect of Micah Parsons is an alien and there just aren't that many aliens. And basically you just don't get rid of aliens. Like, he is so unique and so special. How you let that get away for a 30-year-old defensive tackle, who we all know and love very much so, but a 30-year-old defensive tackle and to what look like they may be very late first-round picks, I do not know. I simply do not know. He is out of his freaking mind. I'm talking now about Micah Parsons. He is out of his freaking mind the way he is playing. Talk about living up to expectations and being everything as advertised and so much more. What a joy to watch he has been through 2 weeks. We're going to jump into his statistics in just a moment, but thank you, Jerry Jones, for this beautiful gift that you've bestowed upon us. The NFC East, by the way, I can't thank them in their entirety because Green Bay did just get eliminated from the playoffs by the NFC East and the Philadelphia Eagles last year, the team that went on to win the Super Bowl. But in back-to-back off seasons, you pick off Xavier McKinney from the Giants and Micah Parsons from the Cowboys. That is absurd. Thank you, Giants. Thank you, Cowboys. The Green Bay Packers appreciate your services and the ability to take both of those players from you. In a time and place where free agents are becoming fewer and fewer and that you do not get rid of your high-priced players just because there's ways to open up that space, you just kind of keep them in hand, or at least you make sure you get proper, you know, compensation. Maybe you can argue at least, you know, the Cowboys got 2 first-round picks and Kenny Clark. It's not enough. It's not enough. Not for that dude. Not the way he's playing. What an unbelievable start to the year for the defense, for Micah Parsons, for Jeff Hafley, and certainly for the Green Bay Packers. They did play with their food for a little bit, but they went 2-0. This game was never close. Even when they scored that touchdown to cut it to 1 score, it never really felt like it was in the balance. It just didn't feel like Washington was going to be able to put up the requisite points needed to be able to hang with Green Bay in this one. The defense was just too good, and that certainly ended up being the case. And again, they didn't even come close to being perfect on offense or special teams yet. And if those two play better while this defense continues to play as they are, good luck. Good luck, rest of the NFL. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. Now, week one is already in the books, and now we're on to week two as Green Bay immediately plays on Thursday Night Football. Now, I've got a big performance for Josh Jacobs in this one and might be keeping an eye on a touchdown for Tucker Kraft as well. I'm also looking for Patrick Mahomes to bounce back in a huge way this week. Now, Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. One of the reasons I enjoy Prize Picks so much is flex play, which means you can still cash out if your lineup isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks does not hit. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget to use that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. All right, let's get to our Luigi's Pizza players of the game. Lots to choose from here. I'm going to Tucker Kraft on offense, Keyshawn Nixon on defense. For Tucker Kraft, 6 catches, 124 yards, 1 touchdown on 7 targets, 74 yards after the catch, plus 19 yards over expected per Next Gen Stats, was just on one for Tucker Kraft. I mean, every single time they needed a big play, whether it was in the red zone, whether it was a play down the field, they were down in like a you know, bad down and distance situations, you know, the opposing team just scored. What was it, a 3rd or 4th down situation where he got not only got the holding penalty, but came up with a big completion as well. Every single time this offense needed something, it was Tucker Kraft. And Jeremy Fowler, you may have saw, I think it was Frankie Louvu who said that they've spent all week focusing on Tucker Kraft because he's the real deal and they need to be able to take him out of this game. So much for that. You completely forgot about him and Tucker Kraft was open on numerous occasions, but that's the type of player that he is. A very special performance in this one. And Tucker Kraft was really the catalyst for pretty much everything that Green Bay did on offense. So a huge game for him. Defensively, Keyshawn Nixon, 2 tackles, Five pass breakups. Five freaking pass breakups for Keyshawn Nixon. What a game. And for all the Keyshawn Nixon, you know, hate, angst, frustration, I hope this calms it a little bit. You might say, Andy, you just had him as your lowest grade. Yeah, I didn't love the way that he played in week one, but I'd said I didn't think it was anything egregious. I thought, you know, sometimes you're just going to allow a couple completions. Thought he could have been a little bit better in run defense. What a game this was. I mean, I'm really excited to get to the grades on defense eventually this week and this weekend, I should say, because I think he's going to grade extremely well in this game. That felt like a special performance from Nixon in real time with five pass breakups, including some really difficult, you know, the one where like Noah Brown's got his hand on his ball and he punches it out. Like just some impressive coverage and again, tenacity and just fighting through the play so that you make sure you're breaking up those passes. Really impressive performance from both Tucker Kraft and Keyshawn Nixon. Of course, today is Victory Friday, and that means we've got our Luigi's Victory Pizza. I'm going breakfast pizza. It might be very soon. I'm recording this right now as we speak. It's 4 a.m. exactly in the morning. I'm going to try to take a little bit of a, basically it's going to amount to a nap year, do the Pack-A-Day radio show, 105.7 The Fam, 105.7 FM The Fan. Can you tell it's 4 in the morning? In Milwaukee, you can find us over on YouTube as well if you search Pack-A-Day radio show. Going to go live, then do my Luigi's Victory Pizza, the breakfast pizza, and then go from there. But if you haven't checked out the Luigi's pizzas yet, they are perfect for game day pizzas, victory pizzas, and everything in between and outside. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, you can make everything out of it. The garlic dippers, amazing. The thin crust, the self-rising dough, the breakfast, it's all there for you. They're all delicious, and it's the ingredients that really, really set it apart. Check them out over at luigispizza.com and on social media at Luigi's Pizza. All right, we also have our Habish Rotier injury report. Unfortunately, this one did end up being a little bit costly. Jaden Reed did, in fact, break his collarbone. He is set to return at some point this season, or at least that's the hope per Matt LaFleur. Apparently, these injuries usually cost about 6 to 8 weeks. If there is any silver lining here for Green Bay, the first is that they've got wide receiver depth. The second is that he is due to be back later this season for the stretch run. The third is that, remember, he does have that foot injury as well. He had a little bit of a shoulder injury. Now he's got the collarbone. And hopefully these next 2 months allow him to really heal up and be ready for that stretch run, which would be very important for Green Bay. No question about it. He will be missed. He is a playmaker. We saw it week one with the touchdown on the little kind of like wheel route. He's a big time piece of this offense. So hopefully he can get back healthy and be ready to go at the end of the year. He has certainly fought some really difficult and frustrating injuries so far over these last couple seasons. They're going to need him for that playoff run. So hopefully he gets back again. He should be back more around like Thanksgiving, early December, if things go according to plan, but definitely a costly injury here for Jaden Reed. And he will be out for some period of time. As far as we are aware, no other injuries of note. Tucker Kraft, Edgerrin Cooper both went out for like a play and then came back in. Did not seem to have any lingering issues. From an inactive standpoint, Zane Anderson, Zach Tom, and Aaron Banks all did not play. As Bo Melton as well, all did not play with some injury issues. Brenton Cox was placed on IR, so he will be out about 4 weeks. So there are still some injuries lingering out there. But as far as new injuries in this game, it does seem like Jaden Reed was the serious one, and hopefully we don't get any other news of any other injuries coming out of this game. As mentioned, there were a couple transactions prior to the game. Brenton Cox was placed on IR. He will miss at least 4 weeks. Brant Banks and Micah Robinson were the two players called up to the game. And then the inactives for the game were Bo Melton, Zane Anderson, Zach Tom, Aaron Banks, Ben Sims, and Warren Brinson. The absences of Melton and Zane Anderson certainly hurt on special teams. I think we saw that play out a little bit through the course of the game. And on the offensive line, Zach Tom and Aaron Banks being out meant that Jordan Morgan got the start at left tackle. And then it was Anthony Belton getting the start at right tackle, although Darian Kennard did play some snaps there as well. All right, let's break down the defense in this one. We talked about Keyshawn Nixon, his unbelievable performance with five pass breakups. Really tough not to talk about Micah Parsons in this one as well. He played, it was right around, it was high 40s for snaps, but he rushed the passer 37 times. My dude had 8 freaking pressures in 37 snaps, had a 21.6% pressure rate, and had a half sack And the only reason that half sack wasn't a full sack was because he got massively held on the play, and that forced him to get there a little bit slower, which allowed Edrian Cooper to get there and get a half sack credit as well. He's unbelievable. By the way, that play, the half sack plus the hold, dude teleports. He goes outside and then stutter steps inside. It is the quickest lateral move I have ever seen from a defender. I mean, he is full X-Men Nightcrawler. One spot, next spot, in an instant. I don't know what you do. I mean, that's a first-round rookie going against. Now, it's a rookie, I get it, but I don't know what you do in that situation. He's a full gap over. You blink, and he is a full gap over on you. I mean, think about this for a second, guys. When you have Micah Parsons, what's like the first thing that you're worried about? If you're not worried about an outside rush, and Connor Lee was one-on-one on this play. If you're not worried about an outside rush and you stay too far inside, he will literally just burst off the line and go by you and obliterate your quarterback. You've got to be able to get outside to make sure that you are covering his speed rush. And then even if you do that, you have to make sure you anchor well enough so because he can convert speed to power. So you have to get outside. He gets outside. And then he lunges outside, and meaning Micah, he jabs outside, gets to his spot, and then in the blink of an eye, goes inside and is a full gap over. You're a 300-plus pound offensive tackle. How are you supposed to adjust to that inside? There's no way. He's here, and then he's there. And by the time you even like get your hands over or like realize what happened, he is not only even with you, he is getting past you. Good luck. Good luck. I don't know. And the only thing that you can do is hold. And that's exactly what Josh Connerly did. Eight pressures in this game for Micah Parsons. And there were plays where he was triple teams, by the way. I don't know what Dallas was thinking. I don't know how much better this could have gone through two games. That back looks pretty good, by the way. I haven't seen much issues. I haven't seen him, go to that lower back a little bit. Haven't seen anything like that. And he said, basically, after the game, he's done with the snap count. He doesn't want any snap counts anymore that he's on. He wants to play. And he has adopted this team. He has adopted this city. He is glad to be a Green Bay Packer. This, so far, feels like a match made in heaven. And talk about the right player at the right time for all the right reasons. We sometimes, and I probably am guilty of it, like we've talked about force multipliers. This is a exponential force multiplier. I mean, everyone looks better when he's out on the field. Everyone looks like they're that much more dangerous. The pass rush is better. The linebackers look faster. The defensive backs don't have to cover as long. He's just wrecking everything. I don't get it. You paid Dak, you paid CeeDee Lamb, and then you get to this insane disruptive force, and you're like, we'd rather not. Cool. Thank you. Thank you again, Dallas. There will be an extra, gift basket from the fans in Green Bay in your holiday stocking this year. We greatly appreciate Micah Parsons. I don't even have it. Like, there's no other words to say. There are so many times where you get a new, I don't want to necessarily just compare it, but like Dame Lillard, how excited Bucks fans were for Dame. And there were certainly some really fun moments, but it just never quite lived up to the expectations of what a Dame Giannis duo could look like. You just never quite know what you're going to get when you make a big trade sometimes, or you have a big signing, and Micah just looks like it is as good, if not better, than could have possibly been expected. How about Jaden Daniels in this one? 24 of 42 for 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. A lot of that incomplete garbage time. 7 carries, 17 yards. He was completely ineffective in this game. I asked Matt LaFleur after the game. I said, it seemed like last year you were willing to keep mobile quarterbacks in the pocket, make sure that they couldn't beat you with their legs, and maybe allow them that time in the pocket and, give your defense a chance that way. said in this game, it felt like you were much more aggressive coming after him. Is that a change in philosophy? Was that just a scheme thing? And he kind of paused, had a little bit of a smirk, and said, not to get to too much detail with that question. Basically, you could tell that there was something that they saw, or there's something that they felt, or there's been a philosophical change, but he doesn't necessarily want to put it out there. At least that's my reading between the lines of it. He knew, right? Like he didn't want to give out too much information, basically, is what it was. Talked about the front and things like that. Make no mistake, there was absolutely a philosophical change here. Think back to Jalen Hurts last year, both certainly in week one and definitely at the end of the year as well, where Jalen Hurts, the idea was to kind of build that pocket around him, right? Don't let him escape the pocket, make him beat you with his arm. And he was certainly capable of doing that. And he did that two times last year, and not just to Green Bay. He did that to a variety of different teams. And it was interesting because you heard Jeff Hafley earlier in the week, and he said like they were going to be able to, they needed to come after him. They still needed to be aggressive and things like that. I still was kind of waiting to see like, what does that look like? Because you can risk really having Jaden Daniels take off. Man, the way that they were forcing him to where he didn't want to go and confusing him and still coming after him in a very significant way was so impressive. The change in philosophy worked. There was no holding back. There was still coming after him, blitzing him, and he had no answers for it. I mentioned earlier that, you know, what is making it that this defense is so tough to defend against. It's not like Green Bay is the only one that's disguising things, right? But the way that Green Bay is playing right now, first and foremost, is they're stopping the run. We've talked about it all the time. Got to eat your vegetables first. Their run defense in this one, 19 carries, 51 yards for a 2.7 yard average. 2.7. Packers have, this is per Aaron Nagler, Packers have given up 97 yards rushing in the first two games combined. 97 in the first two games combined against Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery in the first game, and against Jaden Daniels, Austin Eckler, and Wild Bill in the second game. 97 yards rushing combined, the fewest since the 1970 merger, again, per Aaron Nagler. So they're stopping the run up front. And with that, then you're getting into some third and longs. And with Green Bay also winning in the games, it's creating some obvious passing situations. And here's the thing. Green Bay's disguise game is incredibly good. So you get up to the line, you're Jaden Daniels, and you're trying to read the defense. And the truth is, you can't really get a tell or a read on what Green Bay is going to do based on their pre-snap looks, which forces you then to read the defense a little bit more post-snap. What you don't want to do as a quarterback is you don't want to get up there and be like, I'm just going to run this play and have no idea what the defense is running. You can't do that in the modern NFL. You have to be able to read defenses. And so you get up there and you take that snap, and then you're trying to get a read on the defense of what type of defense that they're playing, so that you get the tell of like where you should go with the ball. If it's cover two, if it's cover three, if it's cover four, if it's middle of the field open, middle of the field closed. You're making these reads based upon what the defense is giving you. And you now can't get it pre-snap. And post-snap, guys are flying all over the place to different areas of the field. And so it's taking that extra tick for you to diagnose what Green Bay is doing defensively so that you know where to go with the ball. And in that extra tick that's taking place, and the tick is like a second here, that is giving you all the time that you need to be disruptive up front with Micah Parsons, Devontae Wyatt, Rashawn Gary, LVN, etc. And now that pressure is coming, and now you've got to do something. And so what happens? It's either sack or throwaway, or you see all these checkdowns. And all these checkdowns are going for nothing because you've got two of the fastest linebackers in Quay Walker and Edgerton Cooper patrolling that second level. So you've got great disguise. Quarterbacks aren't able to read the play. You've got immediate pressure up front, not to mention you're stopping the run. Fast linebackers on the second level, safeties that don't screw up on the back end, and corners that have been doing a ridiculous job like Keyshawn Nixon breaking up five passes. It is very, very difficult to play quarterback right now against Green Bay. You better hope you can run the ball. And so far through 2 weeks, two good rushing offenses have not been able to do anything. We'll be right back. What's going on, everybody? We finally made it to football season, and that means it's grilling season as well. There's nothing like a lineup of delicious burgers and steaks to enhance your game day experience. That's why this year I did not mess around, and I went right to Omaha Steaks for their amazingly tender meat for this upcoming weekend. I am legitimately drooling over them already. I've had Omaha Steaks on numerous occasions, and there's nothing better to throw on the grill than their USDA certified tender steaks that are melt in your mouth delicious. And the best part is they are currently having a huge sale, so you can save site-wide on omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an additional $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Trust me, take them up on this offer, use the code, and get some of their grass-fed, grain-finished beef, and just wait until you see the marbling on these things. You are going to be blown away. So get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details. Per Ben Solak, this was the worst start of Jaden Daniels' career in terms of yards per play, explosive play rate, success rate, and EPA per play. Some key metrics where this was the worst start of Jaden Daniels' career in all of those. Yards per play, explosive play rate, success rate, and EPA per play. Green Bay ended with 4 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, and 8 pass breakups. Some other notes on defense. I thought Nate Hobbs, in his first look on defense, he had the one quote-unquote holding penalty, a little bit of a hang with him there. But I thought overall he looked good. He split time with Carrington Valentine on the outside, did play some obvious passing downs in the slot as well with Valentine and Nixon on the outside. But a first good impression for Nate Hobbs. I thought Devontae Wyatt was really fantastic in this one. Again, pressures, had an early sack, if I remember correctly. Also, I think batted down 2 passes, or maybe batted down 1, and then was it Quay that batted? I don't know. Either way, he was very involved in that as well. I thought this was another really good game from Devontae Wyatt. Baron Sorrell, in his first look, had a pressure when he got in finally on the drive that he got in, and then almost got a sack. I think somebody else got credited with the sack. He probably should have been credited with a half sack on the play. But I thought in his initial first glimpse in an NFL game that there was some stuff to be excited about there too for Baron Sorrell. Thought Javon Bullard was everywhere, just flying around the field. And then some other stats here for Green Bay. The longest play that Green Bay gave up was 20 yards. That was the Zach Ertz touchdown. All right, so 20 yards, and the other one was like 19 on that kind of play to McCaffrey where he got open and just kind of got lost in space a little bit. That was it. Those are your only 2 plays that had any sort of, you know, big play potential. It was 20 yards and 19 yards. The longest run on the day was 8 yards. When this game was truly in the balance, I'm not talking garbage time stats here. The Commanders had 49 plays for 150 yards and 10 points. 49 plays, 150 yards and 10 points. And the really impressive thing for Green Bay is they did this without getting a single turnover. Now, yes, I would love if they got turnovers. That'd be great too, but it's not always going to happen that way. And sometimes turnovers dry up against certain teams or in playoff situations, and you still have to be able to stop teams on defense. This is a phenomenal example of, hey, we can just go out there and stop the team across from us. We don't need 3 turnovers to win this game. We can just stop them. And that's what Green Bay did all game long. Nixon and Valentine combined for 10 targets in this game, 2 catches, 16 yards on those 10 targets. Unbelievable corner stuff from Nixon and Valentine. The Commanders had 2 explosive plays on 65 total plays, which was a 3.1% explosive play rate. That would have been the lowest explosive play rate in a single game last season. Of any of the games last year, this would have been the lowest. That is per Ben Solak as well. All right, let's jump over to the offensive side of the ball. Not as efficient yet as you would like, but still getting points on the board. They also left a lot of points out on the field. You had the post route to Dontavian Wicks early in the game. I thought that's one that they could have connected on. It was there. Love throws a little bit, you know, high, I think kind of high and outside. I don't know if he was expecting Wicks to, you know, kind of take a little bit of a different angle there or what happened, but just a near miss there. Then you had Love to Jaden Reed for a touchdown and then the play that he got hurt, but there was the holding penalty on the play by Anthony Belton. That took 7 off the board there. You had Love to Golden on 4th down where they thought they were going to get kind of the free play. At least that's what it kind of looked like. We'll talk about that play a little bit later. They go for it. He's got Golden open in the end zone and Love just underthrew that one a little bit. And then you get Golden deep from Jordan Love on what should have probably been a 90 plus yard touchdown. And Jordan just overcooked that one a little bit. You also had McManus hit the crossbar, which took 3 points off the board as well after a good offensive series or a few plays to get them into field goal range. That's not on the offense, but more points off the board in that situation. So it felt like not quite efficient yet, not quite clicking on all cylinders, still work to do. But again, you score 27 points and there's still a lot out there for you. That's a very, very good sign. We talked about the impression that Tucker Kraft left on everyone from this game. How about Jordan Love? 19 of 31, 292 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Love was 9 of 15 for 175 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Blitz. Would like to have some of those deep throws back, right? The golden one, the two golden ones, and maybe the Wicks one as well. But I thought overall had another really nice game, took good care of the football, and kind of kept the offense moving along and staying in solid down and distance situations. Love now through two games is 35 of 53, 66% completion percentage, 480 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a 120.0 passer rating. Run game took a little bit to get going and never really quite completely got going. Josh Jacobs was 23 carries for 84 yards, a 3.7 yard average, and a touchdown. They did, with some of their receivers getting those jet sweeps and that fun Savion Williams play, as well as a couple of Jordan Love runs, they did end with 30 rushes for 135 yards and a touchdown, which is a 4.5 yard average, which is not terrible. You just like to see Josh Jacobs get going a little bit more and just being a little bit more effective than that. But overall, not a terrible day running the football, just not ideal in a couple of those situations. You saw Green Bay attack downfield on a variety of different occasions. It's worth noting because it's not something that happens a lot in the NFL right now. And you saw it in these last two games, a lot of checkdowns, a lot of, you know, not willing to challenge down the field. Jordan Love is the opposite of that. I asked him about that in the press conference. You know, he just said that's kind of his mentality. He always wants to be aggressive down the field. So it depends on the opponent, the scheme and what they're drawing up and things like that. But yeah, he's not afraid to go gunslinger a little bit. I loved the tenacity. Just would like to see him complete a couple more of those deep balls down the field. Anthony Belton started, as mentioned. Darian Kennard did play a little bit at right tackle. Eventually, they kind of took away Kennard and just gave Belton the snaps the rest of the game. Thought he, for the most part, handled it well. Did have one one holding penalty that was on him that, again, took off that touchdown to Jaden Reed. But I thought overall, solid play from Belton. He played 45 snaps in this game. 46. Kennard played 17. How about that Malik Heath catch as well? That Malik Heath catch, per Next Gen Stats, had a completion probability of 7.9%. And when he caught it, it became the third most improbable completion since 2018. Meaning there should have been no way that he comes down with that ball, yet he found a way. It's a ridiculous catch and a really great concentration to get those feet in as well. Nice job by Jordan for putting it in a spot where Malik Heath could go make that incredible play. Josh Jacobs, while not having a ton of success on the ground, did have a touchdown, which maintained his rushing touchdown streak. And we did see a little bit of an increase in Savion Williams snaps as well. I believe it was up to 10 snaps. Nothing crazy, but you did see them utilize him on a couple different plays, including that fun little, you know, fake reverse where he kept it on his own as the quarterback, quote unquote, on the play, and then took it on the left side. Had he not stumbled, maybe would have made even a little bit more out of it. As far as special teams go, certainly some penalties that you'd like to have back. Had the missed field goal, gave up some big returns. Was not a great day for defense. Now, Bo Melton, Zane Anderson, both out there, two of your key performers. I'm hoping that this is something that gets a little bit better over time, but a little bit of a disappointing performance from the special teams overall, if we're going to nitpick one thing from this game. All right, some other miscellaneous notes. Let's talk about that Kingsley and Igbari situation. So what happened, this is what I believe happened. I didn't get the chance to listen to the audio, so maybe they explained it. But if you sub a player on the field, then the other team has the ability to sub a player on the field as well. So what happened is when Green Bay was potentially going to go for it, it looked like they were probably going to do a field goal, and then they caught Washington subbing. And so they quickly get on, they kept their guys on the field and get up to the line, and they're expecting a free play, or at least if nothing else, Washington having to burn a timeout. And the ref goes up and he holds the play. And Matt is furious because they shouldn't have been able to do that. Green Bay did not make any subs on the play. But what happened is, as Kingsley and Igbari was expecting the field goal team to go out there, he starts going out on the field, takes a few steps onto the field, and then comes back. That constitutes holding up play because it looks like a substitution. So they hold up play because of that. LaFleur is livid with Enagbare after the play because it happened. Of course, they take that shot down the field to Matthew Golden. It ends up being incomplete, and the rest is, you know, kind of history from that drive standpoint. But a disappointing play there. Yeah, I feel for Enagbare because, you know, he's just trying to get out there for the kick team and be the first guy out there and make sure that, you know, he's in his spot or whatever. But you got to be very cognizant of that because it definitely cost Green Bay in that situation. There was a point in this game where the Packers had 29 plays for 243 yards and 14 points, and the Commanders had 12 plays for 23 yards and 0 points. Also, at one point in the game, Tucker Kraft had 108 yards receiving, and the Commanders had only 101 yards of total offense. It's the first time since December of 2018 versus the Jets that they had two touchdown drives of 90-plus yards. That was per Wes Hodkiewicz. Matt LaFleur did shout out the gold package crowd following the game, saying it was one of the best crowds, and I think he said the best gold package crowd that he has seen so far. Also, Matt LaFleur against Dan Quinn, I should say. Matt LaFleur is now 4-0 against Dan Quinn. He has never scored fewer than 27 points, and Matt LaFleur's quarterbacks are now 76 of 105 for 1,115 yards, 12 touchdowns, and no interceptions, with a passer rating of 144.7 when Matt LaFleur goes up against his former protege and mentor, his former mentor in Dan Quinn. All right, what's next for Green Bay? Packers-Browns, week 3 in Cleveland. Should be a winnable game. You never quite know in the NFL. And I did think that Cleveland played pretty well against Cincinnati in week 1. We'll see what they can do in week 2 against Baltimore of all teams. Yeah, what a tough stretch to start the season for Cleveland. Are you kidding me? You go Cincinnati, Baltimore, Green Bay to start the year? Man, that is brutal. But Green Bay will go to Cleveland next Sunday. Meanwhile, this is Green Bay's first home game, or the next one will be the first home game in a month. We are exactly 1 month away till the next home game. You have at Browns, then at Cowboys, then a bye week, and then Bengals at home. So we are a month away from the next home game. Also worth noting, in their next 5 games, they only have one home game. So Browns on the road, Cowboys on the road, then a bye week plus Bengals at home, then Cardinals on the road and Steelers on the road. So 4 of the next 6 weeks, but 4 of the next 5 games are all going to be on the road for Green Bay. So the comfort of Lambeau Field was nice for these past 2 weeks, but now they're going to have to go and show that they can win on the road as well. That's all I got for you. I need to get some sleep. It's 4:26 in the morning. I'm excited to get to bed. I'm excited to talk to you guys on the radio show in the morning. Again, you can check it out, Packaday Radio Show over on YouTube if you want to check that out. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carla Delgado, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Packets at Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John DeMetropoulos, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Ganzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, and Titletown T. I'll see you guys all very soon. Happy hour, 3 p.m. Central Time coming up today. So I hope to see you guys all there. Free for everyone. Come enjoy the fun. Should be a fun chat at 3 p.m. Central Time. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go, and enjoy your victory Friday, everyone.